54 works of art sold for a combined $348 million last night at Christie's Auction House in New York. It was a record night, with a Mark Rothko work going for over $50 million and a Lucian Freud painting going for over $33 million. Note, that is the most ever paid for a work by a living artist. Lindsay Pollack, herself a living artist, covers the art beat for Bloomberg News. She was at the auctions here in New York City last night. Lindsay, hi.
Hi, good morning.
So the majority of people doing the buying weren't Middle Eastern sultans. They weren't Russian oil and gas magnates. They were U.S. buyers. Was that a surprise?
I think that was a surprise. You know, last week we had the Impressionist and Modern Art auctions, and we had a dominance by European bidders. You know, the weak dollar made sense. Last night, at the end of the sale, they announced the American buyers took away 70% of the sale. People were really surprised. They thought that people would be deterred by our currency. But evidently, contemporary art is super popular with the American uber rich, and they were still ready to spend.
Now, I've been to Christie's a couple times. I wouldn't imagine the vibe would be a chant of USA going out throughout the auction house as they announced that. But is there some patriotism at stake? Are art collectors happy that these works stayed in the U.S.?
Well, that's a really good question, especially now, because, you know, there have been reports recently that a lot of the big pictures from last May, a big Rothko that sold for $72 million, went to Qatar. So, you know, the Middle East is snapping up. They've got all this cash, a lot of important works, as is Dubai. So there is a certain sense, I think, of hometown pride that we're able to afford our own, you know, local talent treasures. But, you know, it's kind of a very cool audience. They don't, there's very sparse applause going on.
Yeah, yeah. The whatever USA or patriotism would be best expressed in a Jasper Johns flag painting.
Yes, I didn't see anyone wearing a flag on their lapel, yes, for example, okay, in, yes, their, you know, Prada suit.
Let's talk about the works. This Freud, it is a striking picture, official name, benefits supervisor sleeping. Everyone calls the woman pictured Big Sue. She's a real woman, Sue Tilly. She's an English civil servant. Why the high price for Sue?
Well, you know, people who are dealers say it really is a masterpiece. I mean, Freud was out of fashion for a long time. People thought he was very, you know, passé with this figurative art when everybody was going abstract. And he continued and continued to focus on his painting and the human body. His work has been rediscovered in the last, you know, few years. And recently at auction, he's been getting big prices. He's been recognized now as a master. And obviously, you know, I asked the Christie's folks, was this a hard painting to sell, this 280-pound woman? For someone to have on their wall. And they said, yeah, some people said it's a masterpiece, but I wouldn't want to buy it. You know, but they found just two bidders last night who are willing to go to the mat, and that's all it takes in an auction.
Wow, it's surprising to me. I know that a Rothko, I mean, if you have the right colors in the room, and the painting that sold last night was a red and yellow, so you could have a couch that matches it. But just to have an, just to have an abstract painting on the room, I guess it doesn't say much, but an actual human being would be more off-putting than a series of, you know, color splashes or lines. That says, you know, something about the market.
I think that's true. I mean, the color paintings, Rothko's have almost become like a brand. They're very recognizable, like a Warhol. You know, when you see those floating blobs of color, you've got a Rothko. And now you know it's like $50 million. So if you're this up-and-coming guy in Russia, or, you know, it's really a great thing to hang on your wall. Having this giant, you know, English civil servant, you know, is a little bit more of a connoisseur's type picture, I think.
Right. Although it does say, hey, I spent $33 million on a painting, or whatever.
True.
Whatever it was. You know what fascinates me is this house, this actual house in Palm Springs that was up for auction. If I buy it, can I live in it?
Yeah, but you should probably wear booties if you spent 16 point whatever million dollars on it. You know, it was renovated, pristine condition. It's got a great big pool. You could certainly live in it, but, you know, they got a really big price. Realtors in the area said it would be worth, if it weren't at auction, you know, if they were trying to market it, maybe $8 million. So it got almost double.
Go ahead.
What's so special about it?
Well, it's very important if you're interested in architecture and design history. The architect Neutra was very important. This was a significant house. The Kaufman House was done for an important person who commissioned important homes. So if you're interested in mid-century design, you know, this is really like, you know, a major Picasso effectively. Mm-hmm. And Christie's was very smart at, I think, cross-marketing it with contemporary art and putting it into that context. Because, hell, you know, $16 million painting, you know, there were very few last night for a whole house. It's seems like a bargain.
Yeah, and Kaufman, he was the guy who owned Falling Water.
Indeed. Right. So he's kind of a big name.
His name on a house, the architect. And what I'm very fascinated about is a lot of times the collectors of these works are speculators and they're trying to make a profit. Some are collectors. But the couple who saw the house and knew about the house, they put a lot of time and effort and thought into it. And without them, this house would probably, you know, just be sold in the local Palm Springs real estate market. What can you tell me about them?
That's right. Well, you know, they're divorcing, first of all, which is why a lot of stuff comes to auction, the 3Ds, death, divorce, and disaster. But, you know, so I don't know if they intended to flip it, like a lot of people buy a painting and then flip it for much more. They did only pay around $1.5 million for this house, but people weren't really buying these kind of architectural gems, especially in bad condition like this was. People would just buy them and tear them down and build a McMansion. Mm-hmm. So they did have vision, you know, they did have good timing, and they had the good fortune to come onto a wave right now of real appreciation for these kind of architectural homes. There's another one coming up, I think it's next week, Louis Kahn's house that he did for Wharton Eschrich. Wright Auction House in Chicago is selling it, I think, in the $3 million range. It's a one-bedroom house.
This house in Palm Springs, Barry Manilow once lived there.
Yes.
And before the Harrises, who were the couple that restored it, someone had put up a huge air conditioner and it just blocked, and they added rooms to it. They weren't treating it as a work of art, and it's obviously, just from a price perspective, smart too.
Yes.
One guy that I'm really into is Richard Prince, and some of his series of nurse paintings sold for a lot of money. What's so great about them?
You can say that again.
Yeah.
You know, the nurse paintings are just a phenomenon. You know, when they were sold in 2002 at the Barbara Gladstone Gallery, you know, she was charging around $100,000. You know, the fact that they're selling for upwards of $6 million now, it kind of blows your mind.
And that's 5 years ago. Wow.
I know. What a great return. It's like a Google stock. I don't even know. Probably outperforms. You know, he's become a real popular with the hedge fund guys. You know, if you went to the Richard Prince show at the Guggenheim, you saw Steve Cohen's name on the wall. These people are willing to spend whatever. And there was a lot of bidding on this man crazy nurse painting. You know, it doesn't do it for me. It's you know, I don't know, maybe it does it for guys more than girls, but it's
campy.
It's highly campy. He scans, you know, book covers.
Yeah. And the guy who was, am I getting this right? The guy who was selling it was the TV producer, Douglas Kramer.
Yep, I think he did Dynasty.
And Love Boat.
Love Boat.
He started off with Star Trek, so he's got the legit credit, and then he got campy. But this is great. If you want your own Richard Prince in your home, the best way to do it is go out and buy the Sonic Youth album, Sonic Nurse, because the cover of that is just one of these, I don't think it was in the series, but it's one of his nurses.
It's cheaper. And you can actually go onto eBay. I've looked, and you can get some of these book covers. I shouldn't even say it, because now the price is going to go up, but.
You should have been selling them before you came into
the
studio today. Well, there's another big auction at Christie's today, is that
Sotheby's.
Right? Oh, Sotheby's.
Yep.
So what's going on with that one?
Well, you know, they have as well a major Rothko. It might bring upwards of $40 million. But their major, major trophy picture is a triptych, you know, three-part painting by Francis Bacon. And they've estimated it in the region of $70 million. And if it sells for in the region of $70 million, it has the potential to become the most expensive piece of contemporary art sold at auction. So, you know, night after night, it's like record.
If I know anything about Bacon, and I do, not really, but wouldn't you put him in the camp like the Freud, maybe a little tough to hang in the house?
That's a very good point. It's vultures gnawing on a headless guy's body.
I didn't even know that, but this is what the guy's drawn to.
His blood. You know, it's not like your Marilyn Warhol.
Yeah.
It's a little tougher of a picture. But last season, you know, we've continued to see Bacon's bringing in $50 million season after season. There seems to be a real hunger for this. There was a report that the Qatar royal family bought one for the region of 50 last year, so maybe Dubai will want this one to one-up them.
And my last question is about the broader implications. Some people are looking at this as some sort of overall economic indicator. Maybe it says something at least about one sector of our society. Do you think that's a fair enough point, or are the art collectors kind of sui generis?
That's a good question. I mean, everybody was shaking their heads and wondering last night, you know, why is the art market seemingly insulated from all the financial turmoil we read about every day? And, you know, the best answers I got in the room were, number one, these people are so rich, it doesn't even matter. You know, A, and B, this is the broadest category at auction, meaning there's people all over the world that want this stuff. It's going to stay afloat, you know, much longer.
All right. Lindsay Pollack covers the Art Beat for Bloomberg News. Thanks very much, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thanks.
We're just talking. You know, we do that. Chatty McChatster over here. We're going to bring in someone else into the conversation. This is a woman who really needs no introduction. It's Laura Conway. I'm going to introduce her anyway. Laura Conway, the BPP's web editor and guru.